I want to read one verse. 3 John. Third John, y'all there? If you find the book of Revelation, go back 2 books. Go to Jude, and then you go, oh, the book right before that is 3 John. And as soon as you find that, let's stand together, please. I'm going to read a verse to you. I need a launching pad. 3 John. I don't really need to say chapter 1 since there's only one chapter. But 3 John 1:4, look at what it says. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Father, would you help us this morning? Would you bless us today? Would you encourage us today with your word? Holy Ghost of God, would you take control of this mind of clay and these eyes and ears and lips and teeth and tongue of clay? And God, help me to think, see, hear, and then speak precisely, God, what you would have for your people today. Lord, I love you and I need you, and I'd ask you to do what only you can in our midst. God, don't let me get in the way. Speak to me and through me. Give us ears to hear and hearts to understand and apply your word in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can have a seat if you would. Now let me say today, Happy Father's Day. I've been looking at a lot of verses. Proverbs chapter 20 is the verse that I've had on my heart for the last couple of days. The Bible says, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. As I thought about Father's Day, and I want to talk to you for a few minutes about Father's Day, and I'm going to do something I've never done in a Father's Day service, and I've preached a lot of them, but I'm going to do something I've never done today. Can I say, somebody wrote a poem, they said, what makes a dad? God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, the comforting arm of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of the eagle's flight, the joy of morning and spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depth of the family need. Then God combined these qualities when there was nothing more to add. He knew his masterpiece was completed, and so he called it Dad. I thought that was kind of cool. Sigmund Freud said this. Now, I'm not a Sigmund Freud fan, but he said this. I cannot think of any need in childhood as strong as the need for a father's protection. One lady made this statement. She said, it does not matter who my father was. It matters who I remember he was. Think about that a second. The most important thing a father can do for his children, Henry Beecher said, the most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. Douglas MacArthur, one of the greatest generals, made this statement. By profession, I am a soldier and take pride in that fact. But I am prouder, infinitely prouder, to be a father. A soldier destroys in order to build. The father only builds and never destroys. The one has the potentiality of death. The other embodies creation and life. And while the hordes of death are mighty, the battalions of life are mightier still. It is my hope that my son, when I am gone, will remember me not for the battlefield, but in the home, repeating with him our simple daily prayer that Daddy loved God. Somebody said, one night I overheard my son pray, "Dear God, make me the kind of man my daddy is." Later that night, the father prayed, "Dear God, make me the kind of man my son wants me to be." I would have prayed this: "Make me the kind of man my son thinks I am and the one that God wants me and needs me to be." Small boys become big men through the influence of big men who care about small boys. I like this one because it's true. If father carries pictures in his wallet where his money used to be. Here's one of my favorite. One of my favorite statements. He did not tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. May I say this morning, now I've got some other things, I've got some funny things, I'll share some of them maybe tonight, maybe not, I don't know. But as I thought about what we read, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. You see, I want to do something this morning that I've never done. My dad's been gone for 4 years. And for the last couple of days, I've just really, really missed him. Because my dad taught me, he made me who I am. I mean, you are a combination of the people you meet and the books you read. You're a combination of the people you meet and the books you read. And there's no self-made man. That's nonsense. We're a combination of those two things: the people we meet and associate with, and the books we read. May I say this morning, as I got to thinking about, I want to do something I've never done. You say, "Preacher, what is it?" I'm going to preach my dad's funeral to you. What I said that I think dads need to hear. Oh, by the way, just in case you didn't think your dad's the dad, listen to me, Dad. Dad, look at me. You're important. Listen to these statistics. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. That's 5 times the national average. 90% of all homeless and runaway children, thank you, are from fatherless homes. That's 32 times the national average. 85% of all children with behavioral disorders are from fatherless homes. That's 20 times the national average. 80% of rapists with anger problems are from fatherless homes. That's 14 times the national average. 71% of high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. That's 9 times the national average. 75% of teen children with drug abuse problems are from fatherless homes. That's 10 times the national average. 70% of youth in state-operated institutions are from fatherless homes. That's 9 times the national average. Daughters without fathers in homes, 53% are more likely to marry as teens. 711% more likely to have a child as a teen. maybe out of wedlock, and 164% are more likely to have a premarital birth, and 92% are more likely to get a divorce. Don't tell me, Dad, that you're not important. Don't think, Dad, that you're not important, because you are. May I say this morning, we read 3 John, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Proverbs chapter 20, the just man walketh in his integrity. That means the wholeness of something. Listen, the bridge collapse in Missouri, they said it lost its structural integrity. Can I say, when integrity fails, things collapse? And the Bible says, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. May I say this morning, allow me. And I wrote this, my message this day is to try to tell you and to eulogize my dad. Here's what I wrote. It's very difficult. It's a very difficult time for many of us, including me. But if you will bear with me, I'd like to do something that I've thought about for many years. Knowing this hour would come and dreading the thought of not doing my best to tell you about Dad. The Bible says the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. I'm going to say four things, and I got four main points, and I got like 16,000 points under them. You understand. Number one, let me speak from the perspective of a son. Describe your dad in one word, snippets, or thoughts to portray who he is to you. Who he is to you. Can I say, when I thought about Dad, I wrote, he's manly. He's a big, powerful, strong, scary, tough man. He's real. He's true. He's genuine. He's not counterfeit or artificial. He's no imitator. He's an original. He's authentic. He's tough. He's strong and he's durable. He's solid. He's tenacious. He's not brittle or tender. He's rugged and robust. Son, describe your dad in one or two word snippets. He's deep, extending far down and in. He's serious. My dad is centered. He's focused and forceful on plan, purpose, and procedure to accomplish his task. He's loyal. He's faithful to his God, his family, his friends, his country, and his heritage. He's honest, showing uprightness and fairness in all of life's dealings. My dad was, as I was thinking about Dad, he's honorable, portraying by principle of honor, upright, highly respected, distinguished, not only in my mind, but in the mind of others. Patriotic. He loved his country. He helped me to understand that I am not an Italian American, but that I and we are American Italians. But American first and best. He was a family man. We were his whole life. Listen to me. We were his whole life. The reason he worked so hard and was so serious. He knew we were watching him, and he didn't want to let us down or fail. He was sacrificial. Nothing he wouldn't do for his family. He sacrificed sleep to help, work, to provide, and also to play with us. He'd lay his all out for his family. There was no reserve. He was all in. And he went all out. Dad, can this be said of you? I'm speaking from the perspective of a son. He was loving. He cared about his wife. He cared about his children and his family and his friends and his church. He told us he loved us. But best of all, he showed us he loved us by actions. Because actions speak far louder than words. I said that this morning in Sunday school. Dad was the epitome of this old saying, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. He showed us with love by caring for us and providing our needs and often our simple desires. He spent time with us because of his love, teaching us and playing and conversing and hunting and working. His family meant everything to him. And by love and with love, he was involved with us always. You could count on him always being there. Don't get excited at me changing the page. I got six of them. Let me say number two. Not only from the perspective of a son, but let me speak about my perspective as a man and an adult. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, the Bible says, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Listen, God speaks that about Abraham. He says, "I know him. I know him that he will command his children and his household after him." He'll command them in the way. Hey, he's going to make them do right. Can I say, as a man and an adult, describe your dad in one word snippets. Let me just say, he's all the things I just mentioned: manly and real and tough and deep and centered and loyal and honest and honorable and patriotic and a family man and sacrificial and loving. But let me add a few things. As a man, I understand a few things. And as an adult, I can see a bit clearer now with a greater understanding that Dad did all this because he was purposed. He did everything on purpose. He was a teacher. He knew it was his responsibility to pass who and what he was onto the next generation, onto his children. And to know why we do and believe certain things. So with all his strength and ability, he could daily find he lived in and with such a purposed, planned, and a powerful way that he lived and let us watch him live, and we learn by his example. Can I tell you something? You're going to teach by example. Because talk is cheap. Action is expensive. They don't care what you say. They care how you act. Let me just say this. People don't care what you know until they know you care. I watch my dad in awe. And as I grew up and became a man and a husband and a father with my own children, then it hit me. Oh, now I see why. My children first came to me and said, "Dad, can I do this?" Absolutely not. Why not? Just trust me. No. Ever said that, "Dad, to your child?" They weren't ready for the answer. It's, no, don't touch that. No, you can't do that. Hey, get away from that. But as an adult, it all started to click. Oh, now I see. This life was so real and alluring, I wanted to be like him. So did others. As an adult, I can think back and see he was trying to pass down to us simply to live good, clean, fair, honorable, serious, loving, fun, yet determined lives. Can I tell you something? You can live and have a good time and still teach lessons. But your whole life can't be fun. Sometimes you have to understand, not sometimes, all the time, you have to understand, Dad, you're Dad. Your sons are not your buddies. They're your responsibility to rear for God. My dad just taught lessons. He was serious. Every once in a while, he smiled, had a little gap between his teeth. He smiled. I'd sure like to see that smiling face again for just a minute. Just to see him and talk to him for a minute. I will one day. Just not yet. He taught us to be manly and real and tough and deep and centered and all the things that I mentioned, but to live on purpose. And to know it's now my responsibility as a father to do the same and to pass it down. That's what 3 John is all about. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Not only as I speak as a perspective as a son and as a man and an adult, can I just say, let me speak as a perspective as a preacher and a loving son. A preacher. In Psalm chapter, do I have it written here? Yeah. Psalm chapter 103, verse 13. The first part of that verse says this. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. As a father pitieth his children. That does not mean, oh, my little baby. That means cares about with love and nurturing and discipline. Not what you think. Pity. Oh, he just got it. No, my dad never did that. Oh, he just a little boy. He don't understand. Boy, why did you do that? And I was reminded after I got done teaching Sunday school, because I said, my dad will say, what did you do? You know who knew what he, but he used to say this all the time. What in the world were you thinking? He goes, let me answer that question. You were not. Okay, we're good. But as I speak as from a perspective as a preacher, who's been given this awesome opportunity this morning to just kind of eulogize my dad, can I say, I only get a chance. I only had this chance. Here's what I wrote, and I apologize. Now, let me skip over that. What I fear most of all is falling short and messing up my last chance to help my family know the power, purpose, and plan God had and placed in my father. Let me say, number one, look at me. Number one, Dad was a vicious protector. Vicious. So what are you talking about? As a small boy, I remember vividly Dad going to the school to demand that the bus stop at our driveway like it did all the other kids in the neighborhood. It didn't because We were the Italian kids. It was racially motivated, no doubt about that. My dad went to the school. My dad talked to the principal. The principal said, "We'll stop wherever we want." That was the wrong thing to say. I'm standing outside the principal's office. My dad jerked that dude across the desk and commenced to whoop him. And I just stood there and smiled. That's my dad. The next day, the bus stopped at my driveway. And that principal, whose daughter I wanted to date, her dad said, "Don't date him. I know his dad." And I praise the Lord. Listen, my dad was a vicious protector. I remember dad defending my grandpa and uncle when the migrant uprising threatened our farm. And I remember my dad, listen, my dad was crazy. They used to call him the Moose. He was almost 6 foot tall, like a half of an inch or quarter of an inch of being 6 foot tall. He was about 220, and he was just a beast. He picked up a tractor off a guy one time that weighed like thousands of pounds. I was there. I saw it. I'm not telling you a lie. I just saw it. All I know is this. My dad was in the military, but he was a street kid, learned how to fight. And my grandfather was like 5 foot tall on a good day. And my uncle was, you know, a teenager. And they had a big uprising, and people started come at my grandfather. My dad said, "That's not a wise thing to do." And one guy said something. My dad popped him, dropped him, just knocked him out. And he proceeded to knock out about six people before everybody started, "Whoa, whoa, 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 Nick, whoa, wait a minute. We didn't mean to be up in your face." Nowadays, you say, "Hey, sorry, I didn't mean to get up in your grill." My dad punched a hole in your grill. You know why? Because when it came to his family, you couldn't say anything. His family was his family, and he was a vicious protector. I won't give you any more illustrations because I don't want you to think that all he wanted to do was fight. Can I say my dad was a valued provider? As a young Navy man, dad helped pay his little brother's college tuition so that his little brother could go further than him. My uncle now has a PhD in education, but my dad paid for his first 4 years of college. Dad worked at DuPont when I was a kid, and I remember him working many hours and many doubles so that he could give us nicer things and a better living than he had. I remember every Saturday when he was off. Now listen to me. I remember every Saturday when he was off, he would grill outside with charcoal. Remember charcoal grills? Man, I love charcoal grills. Them gas grills are... And I can remember sitting around that grill talking to Dad as he's burning everything on the grill. Italian sausage, hot and sweet. He thought it had to be, you know, charcoal looking. He didn't, but my mom did. Every once in a while, we had a little bit extra money, and Dad would cook us steaks. And Mom wanted her steak well done, which is not the way to eat a good steak. If you eat a good steak and it's not rare to medium at the most, you don't know how to eat steak, don't eat it. Bring it to me, I'll eat it. By the way, I had one last night thanks to the family in the church that took me out to eat. Thank you very much. Let me just say this. I could eat another one. No, I'm just kidding. But we had some of the best conversations as he's flipping burgers and He cooked everything that was in, that he had in the freezer. He told Mom, bring them hot dogs out, bring some hamburgers out, and bring me some cheese. And I got the steaks and the sausage. What else you got? Bring me some pork chops. I mean, if you ain't never had a pork chop on a barbecue grill, you ain't lived. We had the best and the most precious times together grilling outside as a child, as a young man. Not only Dad was a valiant patriot, he joined the Navy Reserves his senior year and went full time in the Navy when he got a draft notice during Korea. The Army sent him a draft notice. He loved and served his country. He was a Navy corpsman attached to the 6th Marines. And he saw the ravages of war on his brother in arms, aboard ship and on shore. But he loved America. Listen, listen. He loved America. Growing up, I don't ever remember seeing an Italian flag anywhere in our home. But on our front porch, we had several American flags flying almost every day. Dad was a vibrant personality. Real men have an alluring quality that makes others naturally attracted to them. He was a real manly man, not proud or obnoxious, just manly and serious and outgoing and powerful. When you got around him, you noticed it. People liked to be around a real man and liked to be around Dad. He had an infectious smile with that gap tooth and a very pleasant face. Those who knew him respected him. Those that didn't like him did so because they knew they could never in themselves fake the reality of who and what he really was. He was real, and they were not. Many of my friends said, I wish your dad was my dad. Many of my friends wished their dad was like my dad. Can I say men respected and desired his opinions in different matters? My dad had a high school education. They sought his counsel and advice because my family and my friends sought him out for advice on almost every situation in life. Up until the last few days of his life, my cousins and nephews were still calling Uncle Nick saying, Uncle Nick, I got a question. Can I ask you this? Can I ask you that? We all sought his wisdom growing up. Dad's wisdom and insight seemed legendary to us. We as his family loved him. My cousins and their family loved him. He helped raise most of them when their fathers left. My friends all loved and respected. Listen, my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandchildren, or his great-grandchildren, I don't have any, loved and adored him. There is a chair at the house. It's now since gone, but there is a chair at the house where he sat all the time. In the last 4 years, when that room became his whole life, it's now empty, but filled with his memories. And can I say, I was never able to sit in the chair. I was never able to sit in that room without seeing him in the chair, proudly and powerfully commanding the family from the ship's helm, his chair. I never did sit there, never would sit there. They offered me the chair, and I said, nope, I don't want it. Can I say he was bigger than life to a young child? He was as big as life to a teenager. He was as big in the life of a young man. He was as big as life to this father. And can I say he was bigger than life to this grandfather? Dad was a loving person. He loved deeply, devotedly, and sweetly. He loved his wife. Every time I saw him, my dad was in his 80s. Every time I saw him, he said, come here, poopsie. I don't know what that poopsie means. That was, come here, poopsie. He gave her a little pat on the behind and said, give me a kiss, baby. He loved deeply and devotedly and specifically his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. If he loved you, it was real and it was serious to him. With his love came the fact he was allowed to become part. You became part of his heart and part of his life. It was real and permanent to him. But if you did something wrong, you was getting one. My head is flat because I got it all the time. Can I say Dad was a venerating parent? What's that mean? That means he demanded and commanded respect and would not settle for any less. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And he tried. Dad loved us, but never would allow any disrespect from us to our parents, our grandparents. He never liked disrespect, would never allow any of it. We were never allowed to address an adult in our house by calling them by their first name. Never. Can I say Dad was a violent enemy persecutor? Let me say that again. He was a violent enemy persecutor. You did not want to be on his list as his enemy. He never went looking for a fight, but never backed down from one. We were taught to never start a fight, but to finish everyone that got started. Dad taught us to stand tall and stand up for ourselves and our families. Can I say, I've taught my three sons the same thing. I'll not make mention of it. My Uncle Joe nicknamed him the Moose. A moose, like my dad, is big, strong, powerful, and does great feats of strength, and they are afraid of nothing, no challenge, and they will charge you as if they think you're an attacker. They will charge you. A moose is able to bring great force and anger to defend what's his. A moose is loyal, loving, and protective of the herd under his care and domain. A moose takes his position of authority and duty with deadly seriousness. Once his mind is made up, it's on, full steam ahead, bulldozing anything. Go home and watch National Geographic and Google bull moose. You'll get an idea of my dad being crazy. They will charge anything and win the battle or die trying. Let me just say, I'm almost done. As I thought about my dad, and I thought about dads, are we vicious protectors? Are we valued providers, valiant patriots? Are we vibrant personalities? Are we very loving persons? Are we venerated parents? Are we violent enemy persons? I guess I skipped over one. Can I say, lastly, my dad was a victorious spiritual person. My dad got saved on May in 1982. And Dad fell in love with Jesus, the Savior. I was in Bible college. I told the story here. I was in Bible college. I had my friends. I was fasting one day a week. I had my friends, all of us. I mean, I had hundreds of the college fasting and praying one day a week. My friends were fasting and praying. Most of them were just praying. But my friends and my close family members, of my brothers and sisters in Christ, I mean, we were fasting. We were praying. We were begging God for my dad to get saved. Listen, let me tell you something. When my dad got saved, I got a telephone call. They left a message. The answer machine said, please call home. I called home. I got to the answer machine and everybody was around. I mean, there was 200 of us in the hallway of Hiles Anderson College in the little building they were in. And I got the call. Mom's and the phone rang and I said, Mom, what's going on? They said, here, Dad's got something more to tell you. And he said, son. I said, yes, sir. I said, Dad, what's wrong? He goes, nothing. He said, I just wanted to tell you, I know you've been praying. This was Monday. He said, I got saved yesterday at church. Man. Dude, I dropped the phone. Man. I dropped the phone and I started shouting, "Glory! Woo!" Man, a riot erupted at the college. Because the people that had been praying and fasting and praying, now they're rejoicing. And I mean, Dr. Evans came out of his office a half a mile back in the back. He could hear screaming and hollering in the hallway, thinking, "What in the world is going on?" And then he saw me in the middle and he went, "Oh, it's Lou's fault." And he comes out there, people are still cheering, and I'm still cheering and running around. We're all crying and hugging. And he looked at me and he said, "Mr. D. Philip Antonio, what's going on?" I said, "Brother, my dad just got saved. Glory to God." He got in it. Doc Evans got in it. I mean, a lot of my friends got in it. Doc Meister got in it. Doc Meister was a Marine. I mean, he was a Marine drill instructor. You know, he praised the Lord like this. "Well, praise the Lord." Man, Doc Meister, everybody got in this thing. It, word got out. Man, Lou's dad got saved. So let me ask you, do you know, like my dad knew, that you're a sinner? Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned. Do you know there's a penalty for sin? The Bible says the wages, the payment, the wages of sin is death. But, thank God, God butts in at the right time, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know Jesus paid your penalty and mine for sin? But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took your place. He took all of your sin on the cross, and all of it. The Bible says he became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, he took all of my sin on the cross and gave me all of his righteousness at the same time. Woo! You can't beat that deal nowhere. Hallelujah. My dad understood that. Matter of fact, my dad used to get excited about it every once in a while. Now, my dad was not really one of those shouty, hollery kind of a guy, unless he was hollering at you because he did something wrong. But when he got saved, man, just things changed. His whole life changed. Because he was a victorious Christian spiritually. Can I say tonight, you can know how to be saved too. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let me ask you a question. What are you going to do? Are you going to be a good dad? Are you going to be a saved dad? Or are you going to be a? Can I say, there's a lot of out in the world. But I don't think you and I ought to be You see, tonight, let's decide we're going to be dads and be vicious protectors of our family and valued providers and valiant patriots and very loving people and a vibrant personality. Stop being a stick in the mud. Venerated parenting. And a violent enemy persecutor. One of the guys at somewhere said something about my sister. And when it was an adult. And when my dad saw him, he saw my dad and he started to turn away. And my dad looked at him and goes, "Hey! Don't you turn your back on me. I'm fixing to beat you to death. I know what you said." My dad chased that boy down the street. And it was a good thing that boy was a track star and could run. My dad almost had him. My dad looked for him for months. Because you didn't talk about the family. You didn't talk about his children. You didn't talk about his wife. I tell people this. You can talk about a lot of people. But you can't talk about my wife, my mom, or my children and grandchildren. See, what about dad? Dad's tough. He protects himself. You don't want to talk about dad. But no, he'll say one of two things. I don't care. Or, what you going to do about it? But my dad was a victorious spiritual man. When he got saved, he allowed Jesus to change his whole life. My dad went from fighter, brawler, to serious Christian, deacon in a church. I took him soul winning for his very first time. He said, Lou, I want to go soul saving. That's what he called it. I want to go soul saving. I went, okay. I had no idea what he's talking about. I did. I took him out knocking on doors. The third door we knocked on, I led a lady to Christ. And I looked over at my 6 foot tall man, a big man of a dad, and my dad's got tears running down his face. He said, I've never seen nothing like that. He said, you do this all the time? I said, I try. He said, do you need a soul-saving partner? I said, yeah. I never corrected him. So why didn't you correct him? Tell him it's soul winning. It's not even that. We're just visiting and sharing the gospel. I'll take soul saving. I took my dad about four different times. There was never a time that he didn't get in a car and pray and ask God to save people. I never had a soul winning partner that would not let me leave a house without giving them the gospel. Like dad. And I never went with anybody that every time we went, we had people saved. Because dad said, we ain't done till we get somebody saved. He said, we out here soul saving for a reason. Now you better get with it. I never went back to the house without winning somebody to Christ. Because my dad kept pushing me. Since that time, I've had the privilege of helping start over 100 churches around the world. And I push, and people laugh at me, and I push all the time. I was pushing in Africa. Man, I was pushing the pastor. And I could just hear my dad say, hey, you can't go back to the house till somebody gets saved. We out here soul saving. Let's get to it. You see, this morning, you know what God needs? God needs some fathers to be serious, powerful, real, honest, spiritual men that lead their families. If you're not saved, you need to get saved, mom and dad. Today be your day. Today be a good day. June 16th, 2024, be a good day for you to get saved. Amen. Father's Day. Honor God the Father by giving Him your life. That'd be a good thing to do this morning. Would you bow your head with me this morning? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, Heavenly Father, would you please?